Listen up, maggots. We got targets inbound, so lock and load your senses and stand by for imminent contact.
If you love beer, you're in the Beer Army. So grab a frosty brew and get ready. It's time to liberate your senses. It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Well, welcome to the program. It's Mick Dagger here.
And the General.
And wow, amigo, I apparently am totally deaf when I'm asleep.
You're deaf?
I'm deaf. Didn't even hear my alarm this morning.
Yeah, both of us seem to be like, I don't know, a bag full of dicks or something, whatever that thing goes. It's like, the internet ain't working, this ain't working, it's like your alarm ain't working. It's like, I'm surprised we're actually recording. Are we really recording, or is this computer on
here.
Battery power?
This is
right
actual,
now?
This is real life, man.
Is the processor running on batteries too, or, you know?
It brave well could
oh
be.
Oh my gosh,
yeah.
Man.
Welcome to Real Life and Beer Army Engaged.
It's nuts, dude. It's
we're
nuts.
Two regular dudes.
I see you got your Beer Army Radio, Beer Army Engaged
yeah.
shirt on. That thing's badass.
I love this shirt, man.
Speaking of which, our online store is up and running. We got some new orders, so that's all working. Credit cards are processing. Stuff's getting shipped. So, yeah, it's took a little while, but we got the stuff out there. We have three more shirts in design right now that hopefully we'll have up in the storefront in the next week or two. We know
cool.
It's pretty damn late, you know, to the game from when we were talking about Christmas and Christmas shopping, but sorry, you know, things take a little bit longer
it's
sometimes.
Is Kenny Farmer or Jackie design?
A little bit of both. We're on mothballing some older designs, refreshing, because, you know, people are like, oh, bring back that old design or whatever. So we brought that, kind of unmothballed that. And then Jackie's Fire in the Hole and Heroes Never Die, the graphics. So we're printing those on the front with the Phoenix logo on the back, you know, that we revised. And we call it the Phoenix logo, our alternate logo. And those are all different color shirts. And that's the other thing we try to do, too, is not do all black shirts or whatever, like, so we don't look like a heavy metal band where it's, do you own anything but black, you know?
I don't.
So
other than this.
So we try to add a little color there so that this way when you go into Mixed Closet, you can say, oh, that's my XYZ shirt. And
he's not a depressed
ABC.
Individual.
Exactly.
I just totally thought it. Everybody only has black shirts.
Oh, geez. And, of course, Jolly Skull tickets are on sale. We had some people asking us, like, I can't get the discount code. Listen, you guys subscribe to our newsletter. You get the newsletter. Once you confirm, because that's double opt-in, because we don't want to be spamming people,
right.
Then you get this email, and inside there's the code. And then for our existing subscribers, when you got the newsletter last week, we embedded the code right in there as well. And you just click on that. It should add the discount already on there, but, you know, and you'll be set. So just, again, go to the website, go to the webpage, beerarmy.org/jollyskull. That's the actual event page. It gives you the information on how to do that. So
sweet.
And if you're experiencing technical difficulties, definitely let us know.
But just remember, actually, yeah, it's a double process just because we don't want to just blast everybody.
Because if somebody else is, you know, signing somebody else up, that's how we make sure that, you know, being in accordance with the canned spam laws or whatever the heck you want to call it. So,
right.
And then, of course, tonight we got our In Your Face show. And then we also got Lena doing a game night at Beer Army Burger Company. So definitely come on out there, do a little trivia.
Yeah, that's going
to
be cool.
We did I know we had some hate mail. People were saying we're trying to steal Brown Pelicans trivia night or whatever. And then somebody threw out, well, Buffalo Wild Wings has trivia on Wednesdays too. And cool thing, Brian, one of the owners for Brown Pelican, caught me at the gala on Friday night or whatever, and came up to me and he's like, hey, I'm not trying. I said, no. I said, neither am I. I said, we're just trying to, like, you know, we're just a couple fish in an aquarium.
It's
here, you know?
Amazing what people will latch onto and choose to believe that
yeah,
is not the truth.
Like, we're just gunning or something. It's like, is there not like a national, you know, or a local community events board who's doing what? And even if you could, how could you ever deconflict?
Yeah,
know?
Exactly.
So if people think we're being adversarial or something, that is not it by any stretch of the imagination. So I know we're kind of going long already. I do want to talk about fantasy football real quick.
I have nothing to say other than I suck.
No, I'm pissed because Vinny beat me, but, you know, I'm just like, whatever, man. I don't know. I don't know what else to say, but I did go see Brian this weekend because we were up there with the softball league. And so I stayed with him for the night and for our, we're one of the charities up there and they had their Christmas party, but he got nipped and tucked by freaking Paulie Wants a Cracker here at his 99.42 to 98.78. So it was like less than a point. Those are the ones that just blow me away. Whereas, you know, you getting blown out by, you know.
Oh, wow. Scotty beat me 124.34 to 68.6.
Yeah, when you got like a 50-point spread, it's like, you didn't really have a chance.
That was
like,
horrible.
You know. But when you're less than a point like that, oh, that just drives me nuts. Just drives me nuts. So let's talk about this beer we are imbibing on here.
You chose a great beer.
Yeah, we've
man.
Never. I couldn't believe that. We've never featured them before. And from Brewery Omegang out of Cooperstown, New York. And, Cooperstown, New York, I don't know if I need to say where exactly that is because that's where the Baseball Hall of Fame and everything is. But, you know, we're drinking on their Scythe and Sickle Harvest Ale coming in at 5.8% ABV. You can get more information about the brewery Omegang going to Omegang. That's OMMEGANG.com. This thing is it's brewed with barley, wheat, oats, and rye. That's why they're calling it Harvest Ale, because the end of the year harvest. So
it's insane, you know, in the grain.
Yeah, insane in the grain. So Scythe and Sickle is a seasonal brew that celebrates the richness of the grain harvest, according to what's listed there on the bottle. It's pouring a hazy orangish brown. It has this full, fluffy, a little bit of off-white, almost like, I don't want to say tan or mocha, but off-white colored head. It's got really nice lacing. I mean, it's really thick. It's creamy. The aroma has got that sweet Belgian candy sugars with the malt presence, that bread, malt, biscuity type. I'm definitely picking up fruits. I pick up different fruits from the aroma than I do from the flavor, though. The ones I'm picking up on the aroma is like figs and raisins and these other dark fruits. And I'm also getting some of that hop earthiness to it. I'm also picking up some of that spiciness from that rye, more than I would expected.
I love how it blends in with it, man.
Yeah. The flavor is similar with lots of sweetness and fruits in addition to those dark fruits. I'm also picking up bananas, peaches, apricots. I'm also picking up, and I don't know if it's because a drink is Supernatural recently. I just got grape on the head, but I swear I'm picking up a little bit of grape too, but maybe that's just me. I don't know. Then you also get some of those earthy type notes to include clove. I'm assuming you're getting it from the hops. Well, the clove I think you would get from the yeast, but you're also picking up on that spiciness of rye again in the flavor. It's very, I don't want to say forward, but it's again more powerful than what I thought it would be. It's low to medium in body and mouthfeel with medium to high carbonation. It's really high carbonation, actually, not medium. I would say high carbonation. It's a great Belgian beer. It's interesting because it's a very complex beer with many, many layers. But it's very clean and crisp. Usually with complex beers, a lot of people try to overdo it, and it's hard to say that it's clean and crisp, but this bad boy definitely is. So,
you think it's rye forward, huh?
I'm picking up the spiciness. Like I think my palate is sensitive to spice, especially rye, and I like rye beers. So I think maybe I'm just dialed in a little bit more.
I love rye beers. For me.
Oh, I do too. You know, and that's Sierra Nevada's Ruthless Rye. It's one of my favorite rye beers. And so I just think maybe my receptors are more sensitive to spiciness and then the rye, you know, perhaps.
Well, I love how the rye kind of permeates the whole process. Yeah. I do pick up those grapes and everything else you're talking about. I love their beers.
Yeah.
They really have an awesome take on some Belgian style.
And
beers.
As it warms up, I'm almost picking up some, I think it's that grape, almost like some bubblegum like too, essence. So it's really, really interesting. But real quickly, a little background on brewery Omegang. So Omegang began brewing Belgian style ales in 1997. They were founded by Don Feinberg and Wendy Littlefield, who are the owners of the Van Berg and DeWolf beer import company. And then three family owned Belgian breweries, to include Duvel Murgot. I always mispronounce that. Duvel Murgot, you know, which makes the whole Duvel line of beers or whatever. So it's kind of like this whole conglomerate back then. Hmm. And then Omegang started up in a purpose-built building based on traditional Belgian farmhouse. And I've never been there. I've only seen pictures of it. So I've heard that no expense went on, you know, when they built this thing specifically for that. And they really wanted to do Belgian-style beers, but here in the U.S. Because it's so hard to get your hands on, you know, Roquefort and some of these other ones that are just really, really hard to get your hands on. And it's set on a former 136-acre hop farm in the Susquehanna River Valley, which is 4 miles south of Cooperstown, New York. And so the actual town they're in is Milford.
Okay.
But everybody just says Cooperstown because everybody knows where the hell Cooperstown right. is. And then by 2003, the Belgian breweries had all been absorbed into large corporations. And then the Feinberg and Littlefield sold their share of Omegang in 2003 to Belgian brewer Duvel Murgot. So they, I guess, own it exclusively. I didn't know that until I was researching on the background. So I wasn't aware of that. And of course, if you don't know who Duvel is, they make, you know, their famous Duvel Golden Ale. I mean,
absolutely. I think delicious beer,
world renowned. So, and then brewery Omegang currently distributes its beer in 44 states, including Washington D.C. That also includes Alaska and Hawaii, but ironically excludes Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, and Mississippi. It's like, so if you're looking at a map, I can't even tell you, like, yeah, everything but the Pacific Northwest or the, you know, Northeast or the Southwest.
But yeah, they're in Utah, which doesn't Utah have, like, what's the max ABV on beers they have
out
there?
I don't know. They also export to Canada and the U.S. Virgin Islands. So even though I don't think technically, if it's the U.S. Virgin Islands, I don't think that I wouldn't consider that export because it's the Virgin Islands. The
right, US well, it's still but, U.S. territory. Yeah.
They're really known here lately. These past couple of years, if you're a big fan of the Game of Thrones show, they did their second or third. I'm already losing count. They've done a couple of the Game of Thrones beers.
Yeah, that's right.
And I remember when they first came. The first one came out. Everybody was just like, when we had the Bear Me Outpost, the bottle shop. Everybody was just like, I need to get my hands on this Game of Thrones beer. And then one of my favorite beers from them is the Rare Voss. I really like that beer from them. I think they really do a good job. I'm not even going to try to list medals and stuff. I mean, they've won so many medals up the Wazoo. It's not even fun. Is Wazoo? That's actually a technical brewing term, I think, by the way. So.
Oh, well, you know. I don't know. All I know is this brewery and their take on Belgian beers is amazing. And what a nod to them to have a Belgian company, brewery, actually buy them out and want to distribute their beers. Do they have a barley wine?
Do you know? Well, all their, you know, a lot of, they have quads. I know they have triples, they have quads, like the Three Philosophers is up there, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I've had that. I love that beer.
You know, usually you don't call, usually call them quads. Or, you don't usually say Belgian barley wines, I guess. I've never heard that.
But I think you're just
asking for like high gravity type stuff. I mean, they make plenty of high gravity stuff above 10% or whatever, so. But I don't think they make, like, you know...
Specific...
Barley wine. Like, when I think barley wine, I don't think Belgian beers, I guess. See, you know what? You just brought up something. I'm going to have to go research that, because now I'm curious. Like, do Belgians make barley wines? I don't think so, because that's who is why I usually call them quads and stuff.
Well, they've always... They have a really unique take on Belgians, so...
I'm going to have to go research that now and expand my knowledge.
Well, Scythe and Sickle, what an amazing beer, man.
Yeah, and then again, you can go to omegang.com to get more information about this brewery. OMMEGANG.com out of Cooperstown, New York.
And of course, we have that link for you there in the show notes. If regardless of how you're taken in the program, whether it be on iTunes or there at beerarmy.org, through Podbean, on Stitcher, man, a lot of avenues for you. So definitely stick around. We do have a Heroes Never Die to get to. Always, every week, we highlight something awesome somebody's done in... I'll tell you what, man, in lieu of recent events, you've got a good one to share.
Yeah, it was kind of hard to, we don't want to let the cat out of the bag. What we're going to do, we'll come out of the break, we'll talk about it, but yeah, it's crazy. Crazy world.
Well, stick around. We have that coming up next.
Go AWOL with Beer Army Radio. We're online and mobile at beerarmy.org. Every soldier needs quality gear. Get yours at beerarmy.org. Hats, t-shirts, and more. Show Murphy he can't keep you down and announce to the world that you're in the Beer Army. Go to beerarmy.org. Do it. By the way, Murphy's a bitch.
It's Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
Well, welcome back. And for those of you that are really wanting to know about how to get your hands on those Jolly Skull tickets, well, hit up beerarmy.org. You can link to them right there, and I highly encourage you to pick them up while you can.
That's right, Mick. They're flying off already. It's amazing how much that festival grows every single year. We're actually adding some additional wineries there this year, so we're pretty excited about that. And, I think it's a steal of a deal. I mean, you get in there, you buy one ticket, unlimited sampling to, you know, at least 125 different craft beers, wines, and usually Diablo Distilleries comes too, and they sample out their wares. So, come on out, support us. Obviously, it allows us to do what we do, so we really, really appreciate it. And, of course, the Hornets Christmas party is going 19 December at the right here at the Beer Army compound, I guess we're calling it, the Beer Army corporate headquarters or whatever the hell you corporate.
Foundation headquarters.
And then, of course, pledging. You know, please pledge your support. Go to beerarmy.org/pledge. Get involved. We're going to be producing the new logo because we're changing the color, and we always update to 2016. So all of the people that pledge their support, they get swag items. So we're getting some all the new swag printed out, and we'll be sending that out at the first of the year. So if you want to get your hands on that stuff, you know, you got to pledge your support now, though. And, you can pledge your support anytime. You're going to get those swag items. But if you do it right now, you will get 2015 before it goes out. And then next January, you'll get 2016. So it's kind of a sweet deal. Then you can say you're old school, you know, for all 2015, you know.
I don't know. You can approach it like a hipster.
Or a hipster. And then, of course, the Sierra Nevada collaboration. I know we keep teasing this. We finally got a date from them guys. So next Thursday, 17 December, they're tapping that bad boy.
Well, I know they had to dot their I's and cross their T's.
All that stuff. We're not hating. If anything, people hate on us because we should have just like not like, oh, it's coming in. We should have just kept our mouth shut. Like they asked us to until we were ready to say, yep, well, this is the date. But we thought.
Give yourself more credit than that.
Well, I just, you know, I was so excited.
You can't leave everybody in the dark.
Yeah, just so excited.
No, and it's absolutely exciting to be able to do this beer to generate scholarships and
so
have them.
Squared away. It's a Dunkelweizen clocking it at Dunkel Weizenbach clocking it at 7%. So just I'm really, really excited. And I'm excited that you're going to be able to have an opportunity to go up there and see a lot of the guys in the crew and stuff like that. And yeah, that'll be awesome. And just that whole facility is awesome. So, you know, definitely check it out. And of course our store, we keep saying it. We just said it out in the last, you know, break or before we came out in the first, whatever the hell break. I can't even
You're
talk.
Fine. We talked about it earlier.
Yeah. But definitely check it out. We got all the bugs worked out, buy some gear. We'll be getting some new gear up there. So,
and yeah, there's some new designs on the way as well.
That's right.
So definitely hit it up. BeerArmy.org is your link to everything, whether you want Jolly Skull Beer Fest tickets, if you want more information about the Hornets, if you want to peruse the store and get some swag, and as well, there's a lot shaking there online.
Yeah, it's just a good portal. BeerArmy.org, man. You get all your information right there.
Well, I will tell you this. There's a lot shaking in our crazy world right now.
It is, man. It seems like every single time you turn around, you hear something nuts. You know, I mean, we're still dealing with the whole Paris aftermath.
Yeah.
You know, and so...
Well, not only... Yeah. Well, that happened over there, and then next thing you know, we have an incident over here.
That's right.
Which, oh, man, there's a lot we could talk about this, but let's highlight something awesome.
Yeah.
Okay? Because in this crazy world, you never know who's going to step in the gap.
Victory! Mick, in the past, you know, we identify an individual, whether it's an animal, an animal's name, you know, a specific person or whatever, or usually a couple of people. But we haven't, I think, once or twice, we've set the precedent where we've done a whole group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And then this week, what we're talking about is the San Bernardino, what I'm going to call a terrorist attack. I mean,
that's what it is.
Whether it's homegrown terrorism or whether, you know, I don't want to get into the talking heads and the sound bites and, you know, also the bullshit and gun control. I mean, I'm sure we're probably going to go off on a tangent here, but, you know, so what I'm going to say is our hero for the week is, I'm just going to say California law enforcement, because there's so many different agencies that were involved first responding, mm-hmm. whether it was State Patrol, whether it was the LA County, whether San Bernardino Police, you know, I mean, just so many different agencies, just crazy. And I've seen so many different videos, firsthand accounts, people on the side of the highway where they're recording, like, oh man, somebody's going by, and all of a sudden gunshots fire out, you know.
Yep.
So we came across this one video that was hand from people inside, and once the police got inside the building, of course, you know, it's a live shooting. Like, you don't know, like, how many more shooters in there. People are scared. People are crying.
Yeah, they're uncertain.
There's little kids in the, you know, you're going to see this video in a second. And this one, and then this is the thing I love about it. This is where I always say in California law enforcement, because there's one officer that has not been identified, and I kind of hope he isn't, and he makes a great statement, I think, sums it all up. And what's so great about our law enforcement and police officers in general, even though we've had some other things going on around the country. I mean, right. Yes, you have a couple of bad apples, but I would say this as a blanket statement. For the most part, our law enforcement here in the U.S. is doing the right thing. They're always putting their safety our safety before theirs. And I think this sums it up. So please play.
If you're not cool, I'm not walking it, dude. Sir? Go. Lock that deputy out and keep your hands where I can see him. All the way to that deputy. You're going to make the left where the deputy's at.
Thank you. Try to relax, everyone. Try to relax. I'll take a bullet before you do. That's for damn sure. Just be cool, okay?
Wow, man. Yeah,
so I was just, and the reason why you're hearing that noise is because somebody's shooting that off their phone. And when you see the video, and what's crazy is that you've been in the military. We do mountain operations, military operations that are in terrain.
Yeah.
You stack on a building when you know you have enough people to clear out all the rooms or whatever. Well, they're first responding. They don't. So they're telling everybody to put their hands up. They don't know, because they know some of the tactics that, you know, these freaking terrorists will use is blend in and then all of a sudden unload or blow themselves up once they get a group of people channeled into a hallway or whatever, you know? So he's telling people hands up. He's saying, stay cool, stay calm, go down the next officer. He's trying to maintain positive control while projecting confidence to keep people, you know, fears at ease. But you see on the thing, people are like, and there's little kids, and I'm just like, oh my God, can you imagine, you know?
No,
and, I can't. You know, and you're trying to identify between friend and foe. You're still getting reports over your radios that there's shooting going on. You know, like, wow.
That's a level head right there.
Dude, I was like, I was impressed. I was impressed with, I'm sure if you interviewed him, he said, man, I was scared shit. Like, I'm worried that somebody's going to come up from my office behind me and pop me, you know, or something. You don't know. You just don't know in that situation, man. And if you don't know what the hell we're talking about, or if you've been living underneath a rock for the past week or so, we're talking about the at the Inland Regional Center, which is a Social Security office out in San Bernardino, where 14 people were killed and 17 more were injured during a holiday party. You know, so they're just having a Christmas holiday party. What's crazy is this office helps people with special needs. You know, I mean, it's like of all the places to attack, I don't know. I'm just blown away. And the reports I'm getting is that they were targeting people based on their religious views because the gentleman that was there, I guess, worked there. And then he went to Saudi Arabia for 6 months, came back, became radicalized, well, grew a beard.
US, I believe he's U.S. Yeah, born. You're right. Yeah. He did go to Saudi Arabia.
And that's where he married a woman. From Pakistan or some crap. I don't know, man. I just like, wow, man. You know?
Well, I will tell you this. That is the ultimate coward will target innocents.
Yeah.
That's what terrorism is. And this is terrorism. And what pissed me off was the fact that we have, you know, they've kept it at bay without even really calling it terrorism, as if they don't want to admit it's happening on our soil, because it highlights a lot of problems.
Yeah, gaps. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Failures across the board.
It's been so politicized rather than acknowledging what it is and addressing it. I mean, it's just, we live in a society where the awesomeness and just the calm, collected behavior of this police officer. It's the epitome of what honestly everybody should do. You try to maintain your calm, you keep a level head, but you be situationally aware.
No, and so everybody's saying, you know, that this officer is a hero for, and you could say, well, what did he do? Did he save somebody's life? Well, he took control of a situation. And the thing is, it's not just him.
It's all of them.
Because I saw so many videos of other officers and other people stepping up it was like there was a couple different individuals like, oh, that would be a good one. But I was like, it doesn't do justice to the magnitude of this whole situation. Yes, you could say, well, there's only 14 people. It's not like the Paris massacres or whatever. I got that, you know, or 9/11 or something like that. Right. But it's like you had a lot of people with very limited. Excuse me, man. It's the
carbonation.
I got the sickle. Yeah, you got sickle. Yeah. No, it's just maddening. I mean, when you're trying to triage a situation like that and go in and see what is still an identifiable threat, you know, and that's what blows me away. People are like, well, how come it took so long or what? It's like, how fast do you expect? I think they responded pretty damn quickly. Assessed the situation, secured the building. There was, you know, they had reports of pipe bombs, undetonated explosives. It turned out some things were inerts. Turns out some things were just misidentified. You know, the thing is, though, you holy smokes, man. People who do that, I say, have you ever been in a shooting situation or a hostage situation possibly or a freaking bomb situation possibly?
Well, you
know,
it's say that, but the thing is I hope that the majority of society has never been in that.
Oh, no, I agree. No,
I agree completely. I understand what you're saying. The thing is that there is no clairvoyancy.
Yeah.
When it comes to law enforcement, they can't predict. They are going off of very little information, and they do the best they can.
I came across some report. Somebody was saying that, you know, all the police making everybody keep with their hands up and everything like that. Like, that was freaking people out. It's like, I'm telling you right now, it wasn't just for their safety, the safety of the people around them, because this cop is trying to identify friend from foe. Uh-huh. And if somebody starts rustling in their bag or in, the, you know, like, Do you want him to accidentally shoot somebody because he thinks they're a threat? Not because he's scared, but because he's next to five or six other people? Like, I don't know. It's like, people shut the fuck up. You can armchair quarterback, but unless you were there, you know, you don't know, man. And the thing is, when you look at this video and you see him going down the hallway, you see little kids. And, you know, it's just like, wow, man. You know, these kids, man, are like, what are they? You know, what is the blowback? Part of me hopes that they're so young where they just kind of don't really remember it as they get older and, you know. I don't know, man.
Well, when you have a law enforcement officer like that, police officer that is calm and collected and, you know, and letting everybody, reminding them. I mean, honestly, as a child, that's going to be comforting. Even though they're, you know, as long as everybody else, and they did remain calm.
Yeah.
So, the trauma, as long as, and I hope no kids really saw any major.
Yeah, I hope not either. Yeah, you know, blood and bodies and stuff like that. Because I heard some really gruesome graphic accounts of what was going on. But I think former Navy SEAL Rob O'Neill, who talks as a talking head or a pundit on, you know, some of the news networks or whatever, he quoted as saying, this is a prime example when the wolf does show up that nobody believes in. You know, again, like we say, somebody has to step into that gap and fight that fight and be prepared to and give their life if need be. And in this case, it's, you know, it's California law enforcement. So, you know, California law enforcement, you're our hero, you know, continue doing great things. Please keep ferreting out people. And this is just all law enforcement, you know, ferret out the assholes that would do us harm here. You know, so.
Wow. That's definitely words to remember there. And by the way, part of this is going to carry over into Yikum Tisu.
Oh, is it?
Because, yeah, there's so much that you just can't believe is actually real. So there's just some shit you can't make up.
Beer Army Engaged on Beer Army Radio.
On the battlefield of beer, an informed soldier is a good soldier. Learn more about the Beer Army Foundation. Go to beerarmy.org. Get informed about beer, upcoming events, festivals, and community outreach that the Beer Army provides and supports. The revolution starts with you at beerarmy.org.
Beer Army Engaged.
Don't forget that swag.
That's right.
Beerarmy.org. There's some great merchandise up there, man, if you're looking for a kick-ass bottle opener, which would be perfect to open up Scythe and Sickle with a 50 caliber Beer Army.
This thing's
around that's a bottle opener.
This thing tastes a lot bigger than it is. It's still it's tripping me out because I'm thinking
it's delicious.
It's I don't want to say chewy.
Don't forget, we are sipping on, and as we do every episode, feature a beer. This is Oma Gang's Scythe and Sickle Harvest Ale, and it's insane in the grain. Delicious.
Yeah. Speaking of insane and insane in the grain and drinking beer and everything else, is we attended the North Carolina Craft Brewers Conference. Put on by the North Carolina Brewers Guild. I'm sorry, their Craft Brewers Conference. This is their second year, so it was pretty. I couldn't believe how much bigger it was than the first year. How many they had vendors? I mean, you know, just everything. I was blown away. They had seminars and speakers, and I was just really blown away on the sheer size of how much larger it was this year within just 12 months like that. So North Carolina Brewers Guild is doing a great job. They continue looking out for the best interests of the brewers in the state. They're saying reports of over 150 brewers now in the state.
That's awesome.
They said that there's, I can't remember how many in planning. I want to say 30 or 40 in planning. And I was like, wow, man.
Well, just thinking about it. I was thinking about it the other day. And just as we were out at GABF and the recognition that North Carolina breweries have got with the medals out there.
Yeah.
And just the representation and everything going on. And then there's some really prominent breweries that are deciding to call or at least open up operations in North Carolina. It's amazing.
And then Kim Jordan from New Belgium was the keynote speaker. And that got me thinking about how we need to catch back up with
Eric.
Yeah, and say, hey, man, what's up? You know,
yeah.
Make sure that the beanies we send and everything and keeping them warm and all that. But so let's me talk about our good friends, Cheryl and Larry Lane at Double Barley. Well, first of all, we were hanging out with them a lot. We were hanging out with Christy over at Raleigh Brewing Company and her crew and Michael McAdoo and Alex the Brewer, and just it is like who's who, kind of like in the zoo, basically. Submit from Lone Rider, who was drinking more liquor, I think, than he was beer, because my gosh. Dick Cantwell from formerly from Legion Brewing Company was also on site. I had a chance during one of the evenings. We had an after party at Foothills Brew Pub and got to hang out just with all of them. But I got to talk to him for a little while. It was really, really cool to just hear what he's got going on in his life. I don't think brewing is out of his life entirely. I think he might be making a comeback or something. And probably on the West Coast somewhere.
That'd be great.
Yeah. But let me talk about Cheryl. Cheryl is out of Cheryl. Say, if I was to say she's out of control, it would be an understatement.
No, she only knows one speed. She's and not so, out of control. She's just a
And of course, Emma. You know, Emma's there, who's always the one that kind of guides her and makes sure she doesn't make bad decisions, I think, or tries to. So we're at Foothills. We're at the group. We're having a good time. You know, Larry orders up some of their sweet potato vodka that they do because they still like that. And it was just like, okay, we're really getting this party started. All of a sudden, it was time for Cheryl to go home. It was still kind of early in the evening.
She was ready.
Like around midnight. It was time. And Emma's like, I'm going to get her home. She starts to walk out. She doesn't have any shoes on, dude. No shoes on. She's got her socks. And we're like, Larry's like, where's your shoes at? She's like, I don't know, or whatever. We're like, how the hell do you lose your freaking shoes? Well, she was doing a little dancing because they had some live music and stuff like that. So Jennifer from she puts on Brugaloo, and so she was also sitting at our table, and she was kind of she's a really nice girl, nice lady, kind of meek or whatever, kind of quiet. I think not quiet, but like I think she's like, holy crap, these people are out of control, man. Yeah, and Scott's just like, I don't know these people, man. You know, all of a sudden she goes to the bathroom, she comes out. Guess what? She's got Cheryl's shoes. She's like, yeah, I'm in the stall. She goes, I look under, I see these toes kind of hanging. I'm like, is somebody look, you know, and there's Cheryl. So, and Larry's, we start busting out laughing, and Larry's like, well, she's making herself comfortable, you know? It's like, wait a minute. Women are so, like, I don't want to say germophobes, but you know how it is. But, you know, like, whether they even sit on a toilet seat in a public bathroom, you know, I've heard women don't even do that sometimes, you know, or whatever.
Hover.
Hover. So to sit down, take off your shoes, and then to walk out and leave your shoes. It's crazy, dude. Crazy, man. And what was funny is a little while later, Emma sends a text picture of Cheryl on the couch with her feet. There's no holes in her socks. Well,
I remember seeing
it. And then he sends a picture back saying, hey, man, we found your shoes.
Yeah, I remember seeing just a photo of Cheryl's shoes.
It's crazy, dude. Oh, they're awesome, man. They're awesome. So I guess with that much insanity, you know. That
never a lack of a good time, I'll tell you what.
No, not with them. Whenever we're out with Raleigh Brewing Company, Double Barley, Lone Rider, any of those, they're always good. They're a really good group of people, all of them. And the cool thing is I think they represent the beer industry as a whole for North Carolina. Fun, outgoing,
creative,
loyal,
yeah.
Hardworking, you know. Yeah, so just awesome, but. I know I just went long on that, didn't I?
Yeah, you're fine.
It's almost like our own little news Zikum to Sudan. Well, it kind of was. You can't make that up.
I've never seen shoes unattended in a bathroom before. So that's a first. You can't make that up.
No, you can't.
But speaking of which, it is our time. You know, in this crazy world, this insanity, things will get you, give a rise out of you, will make you laugh. But regardless, I mean, you just can't make some shit up. So let's Zikum to Sue. Hey, Dustin, have you heard of Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters?
Yeah, he's a freaking talking head. I don't really like him, though. He's a talking head on Fox News, I think.
Yeah, most of the time.
Little short guy, looks like a little freaking weasel.
Yeah. Well, most of the time, I kind of cringe when he's talking, but he was on Fox Business recently.
Okay.
And he was asked about to speak about Obama's speech, the most recent speech he made in regard to terrorism.
Yeah, what we just talked about in the Heroes Never Die segment, I think.
Yeah.
Was he talking about, wasn't that what his speech was? Was the address that? Or was it just terrorism in general?
Well, about the incident and terrorism in general. All right, well, here's what Ralph Peters had to say, which got him suspended.
Really?
From Fox.
Wow.
Yeah.
Listen. Let's get right to the president's speech last night on terrorism and bring in Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters. Right, Ralph, I have a question for you. I know you watched last night. I want to know, what were you saying to the TV as the president was speaking? What was your commentary as as the president's speech unfolded?
Well, first of all, he keeps speaking about we can't give in to our fears. Don't be afraid. Look, Mr. President, we're not afraid. We're angry. We're pissed off. We're furious.
Yes.
We want you to react. We want you to do something. You're afraid. I mean, this guy is such a total pussy. It's stunning.
Whoa.
And, we want we the people, the American people, whom he does not know.
Yeah. I love it.
Wow. Well, you know what? His street cred just went up on for me, man. Wow. Okay. Hey, good on you, man. Call your shot. I was like, okay. I'm like, really? Fox News of all people? You're gonna drop this dude or suspend him over that? But yeah, calling the president a pussy.
I have to be honest. It's true.
You look at
what FDR said.
Uh huh.
You know, and honestly, 74 years ago. Mm-hmm. December 7th, 1941.
Yeah.
Pearl Harbor.
Which just happened, yeah.
He called out Japan, called out the incident, called him out for what it was, and in our president now, we have terrorism going on our own soil, and more information is coming out, and we're realizing just how connected these two people in San Bernardino, these assailants, these terrorists, were connected to ISIS. And we have a president that is more concerned about not offending...
Well,
I think culture.
That, well, the thing is, he can't get reelected. So I just think he's part of that typical political landscape of what's good for the Democratic Party. You know, we're in an election cycle. You know, I don't know, man. All this other crap.
You don't put on the world stage a mentality that you are so laissez-faire
and care less
about the safety of your citizens more than offending a handful of people.
Hey, amen, brother. I'm not arguing that. I'm just saying.
So he is a pussy.
No, I know. I'm blown away, man, that Boy, Ralphie Boy sounded pretty fired up.
You know, I've never really liked that guy. I've always cringed every time, but I heard that, and I was like,
that's what I'm saying. I got new respect, man. Like, wow. I mean, I said it before you even said it. I'm like, yeah, I'm not really a big fan of his or whatever, you know, but wow, I'm impressed. And the thing is that if he's that fired up, because he always comes across to me kind of PC-ish himself, so if he's that fired up, my gosh, you know, there must be a lot of people that... I know I am.
There are more than are portrayed, and I honestly believe the media is failing the American public. And they're more wrapped up with Donald Trump and this insanity and his, you know, soundbite fervor and visceral response to everything. But honestly, it's just, it's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. But we need a solid leader, and we don't need a freaking idiot.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
Or pussy.
But you know, I know we feature our fantasy football. You heard me ranting myself about how my Panthers, I don't feel like we're getting any respect, right?
Right.
It's really pissing me off. And I'll admit, the New Orleans game this week, it looked like I don't know, like they're trying to give the damn game away. It was some crazy calls, some crazy interceptions, some fumbles. But you know, at the end of the day, it was a good game. New Orleans, I thought, played really, really well. I thought we played pretty good. I thought New Orleans really showed up. I don't think it was just us being off. I think the first quarter we were pretty off. But remember I said right after the Cowboys, you know, last week's episode, I was bitching like, we're not getting, you know, people. Like, how can we be an underdog? And I came across the second half podcast, which is sports reporter Travis Waldron and NFL veteran Dante Stallworth. And they have a little podcast, and I didn't realize it. So anyways, my man Dante, I got a little snippet for you because I think he echoes exactly my sentiment.
Check this out. Going into this game into Dallas, they started out as underdogs. Are you kidding me? These dudes, they don't care about playing undefeated. They don't want it. They don't care about. I can guarantee you. Yes, it would be great to go undefeated. They're playing for respect, dude.
Right. No one believes them.
The Cowboys. Are you kidding me? They were underdogs going into
the Cowboys.
Dallas. That's the Panthers were.
Well, that worked out well.
It worked out well. You know what? They had just destroyed Washington. Just destroyed 4 days prior to that. And then they were going into Dallas. No respect, man. They were underdogs. And to me, that's more dangerous. You have a really good team. Scratch that. You have a great team in the Carolina Panthers that were going into Dallas Cowboys Stadium as the underdogs to that team. The underdogs. They're an undefeated team. They're a really good team. That is so dangerous to have a team playing for respect. Forget going undefeated. That would be awesome, but these dudes are playing for respect.
Wow.
Well, no, I mean, I agree with
them. They are. He's playing for respect.
That's how I feel. Every single time, every single week they go on the field, I feel like they're not getting, I feel like Rodney Dangerfield over here. No respect. You know, it's like, what does a guy got to do? You know, how many, it's like, if you can be underdogs to a, what was it, 3-7 or whatever the hell they were when they went in there, you're undefeated. You're going in there, you know, 10-0. You know, you're 11-0 after, you know, I don't know, man. I'm just like, how does that happen, man? You know, it's like, it pisses me off because I've been a Panther fan for so damn long. I just, you know.
Well,
like,
you got a badass Luke Kuechly jersey, man.
Yeah, that is badass.
I love that jersey. No, honestly, though, I would much rather have a team play for respect than play with a chip on their shoulder.
Oh, I would too. Well, I guess I kind of look at it as kind of like a chip on your shoulder because you're not getting the respect. I don't know. I mean.
Well, yeah. Well, no, I hear what you're saying, but when I think of a chip on a shoulder, I think of an arrogance.
Oh, yeah.
Attitude. Like Patriots.
Yeah.
The Patriots. I'm sorry. I think Pats fans, I can't stand the New England Patriots. I can't.
I think they just go in every single week and.
Nice burp.
Oh, man. Was that a burp?
I think it was. It was like an internal rumble that prevented you from talking. So
scythe
yes.
and sickle, doing me in some more. No, it's like they got to go out there and prove something. And I feel like, I don't know. And that worries me because if they get behind, like everybody, then you're going to have a bunch of individuals trying to prove something instead of the team, you know. But I'm telling you, man, they're going to the Super Bowl. I don't care. They're going to the Super Bowl. So you people, you go. You could go everybody that doesn't think that wants to say they're not that good, you're out of your friggin' mind, man.
No, they are. They are really pounding. You can't be 12-0 and not have some serious talent in it. And the thing is that, you know, I've never really been a huge Cam Newton fan. I've acknowledged his abilities and his talent.
Sure.
But he's always rubbed me the wrong way until this season. It's like something changed in him this season.
Yeah.
He still has his little quirks that are a little arrogant, maybe. But seriously, though, he has bred and he and Luke Kuechly have bred a real awesome team mentality, positivity, and embracing the sport and just having a good time. But look at this. I mean, look, he's not the only player on the team. He started being the one to give kids footballs.
Yeah.
Now other players,
all right,
when they score a touchdown, are like, no, I'm going to give this to a kid. You know, it's amazing to have that positivity on a team with that level of talent.
I'm with you. His celebrations, or what do you want to call it, kind of bothers me a little bit, but I just look at it like, but when I see him doing things, the reports I hear he does off the field and then giving footballs, I say, you know what, I'll shut the hell up because I think that's kind of like a full pass. If I got to take that with that, I'll take that.
Exactly. So. And the thing is they could let this view of them be a negative force.
Yeah, no, I think they're using it as energy, man.
That's just a well-rounded individual and team right there. So good on them. And you'd think I was a lifelong Panthers fan, but I got to give them credit. They're amazing. They're really kicking
butt. I'm glad to have my moment, I guess, after all these I'm enjoying my moment.
Take it. And we'll see where they're at next week when we come back for another episode.
That's right.
So definitely hit up the back catalog, peruse the whole collection, hit up the shop, get some awesome swag, and honestly, check out the pledging section. Become a part. Do what you can. Help us generate scholarships for degree-seeking youth and really be a positive force in our community. It's the beer community, because if you drink beer, you're in the beer army, right?
That's right.
And in the meantime,
rounds out.
Beer Army Radio.